Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. Andy Greeter from the St. Paul Pioneer Press in a few moments. Time now for the play-by-play call of the day and one of the more bizarre ones from the season last night.
Swings and hits it deep to left field. This is trouble. It is down. It is off the wall. And they may have another look at it. The runner comes home, and the Cardinals will win this one if they don't have a replay.
Well, they went to the replay too late. The umpires left the field. It actually should have been a ground rule double, and Carpenter should have stopped at third. Because one of the things I'll tell you that I do when I broadcast minor league baseball on the road, obviously ads are all over the wall in the outfield, and some of them have wall ads above the wall. So I always walk around the outfield once when I go to a ballpark just to make sure that those ads are behind the wall. Thus, if it hits those signs, it's a home run. Or if they're part of the wall, so if it hits the sign, it's in play.
So if it's a minor league park you've already been in, chances are the ads may be different out in the track.
Right. Well, and I just want to look and see if the signage is in back of the wall or if it's part of the wall. That way I know if a ball bounces and it hits that sign, for example, it's in play. Or if it bounces and hits that sign, it's a ground rule double. Or if a fly ball hits that sign on a line, that it's a home run because that's not part of the wall. It's in back of it. So I always walk around the outfield wall, first game of a series on the road, just to make sure. Well, that's what happened. That sign that it hit, it bounced up and it hit the sign above the wall. And that should have been a ground rule double. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not a wild pitch, a pass ball, an error, a base hit, something where the Cardinals drive in Carpenter from third and win the game. I mean, that very well may have happened. But the umpires left the field. They thought it was over. Brian Price, they're trying to figure out what they're doing there, and they only had literally a few seconds to request a replay because it was the final play of the game. And he requested it too late. And when I mean he requested it too late, I think he requested it like 25 seconds after the game, and the rule says it has to be 10. Really? So the Cardinals get a gift. And, of course, Sunday will be Vin Scully's final game with the Dodgers. What a career. What a life. Hasn't always been perfect for him. He lost his son after the Northridge earthquake, as someone was inspecting oil pipelines, and a helicopter crashed. He lost his first wife, Joan, to an accidental drug overdose. But he and his current wife, Sandy, whom he married back in 73, I think, have 16 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. It's pretty cool.
Also, we got to send credit where credit is due to Dick Enberg. He's wrapping up.
Yes.
Haven't seen him on TV the last couple of years, but was still doing play-by-play for the San Diego Padres.
He was, as a matter of fact.
I was waiting for a Sarah Bartlett Dick Enberg photobomb. Been waiting for that.
Don't believe me.
I know.
Now they've already hired his replacement, by the way, Don Orsillo, who did the Red Sox the last few years, is the guy that's going to be the full-time Padres guy. Okay. Andy Greeter is the beat writer for Minnesota Golden Gopher football with the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Andy, welcome. Great to have you with us. Not exactly murderer's row, but they are 3-0. So do you sense when you talk with Tracy Clays, the head coach, that they feel that Minnesota is getting better?
Well, I mean, I was asked this question yesterday for another radio station, actually in Nebraska, and And it's tough to say if they've gotten better in each game because the level of competition has changed each game. They opened against Oregon State, which was a two-win team last year that people think is going to be better in their second year with Gary Anderson, and they won by about a touchdown. And then they play an unranked FCS team in Indiana State and almost put 60 on them. And then last week they win by a touchdown against a Colorado State team that was 500 last year. So I think that it's difficult to say if they've gotten better each game, but they're 3-0, and that's where they want to be heading into Big Ten play.
They've also had the schedule spread out because they opened on a Thursday night, then they played 9 days later, then had a bye week, and then played Colorado State. How much has that helped them, at least early on, that it has been spread out a bit?
I think it has helped. I know that they've got two key offensive playmakers in tight end Brandon Lingan and wide receiver Rashad Still, who have very similar shoulder injuries. Given the fact that there was a bye week in there, they were able to miss one last game. But you know, for the most part, they're relatively healthy, and I think that probably only having three games through September has helped them in that category.
Mitch Leidner is a quarterback that's always been known as a really good runner, but the issue always for him has been accuracy. The NFL guys love his size, and they love his arm strength. What has allowed him to be a little bit more accurate this year? Because he's up over 64%.
Yeah, I think it really starts with protection. The Gophers struggled to keep bodies off of him. Pressure, quarterback hits, sacks, all three of the above last year were a big problem for the Gophers. And this year, he's been hit, you know, maybe you can probably count him on one hand. He's been sacked one time, and that came in the fourth quarter of their last game. So they went 11 quarters without any sort of pressure or very little pressure and no sacks. So I think that's been key. And he's also been able to spread the ball around quite a bit. He had eight pass catchers last week and nine the week before. And I think that's helped him as well. He has time and he's able to work through the progression to get to the third and fourth option.
The running backs, what did it mean to get Smith back into the lineup against Colorado State?
Yeah, it was Brooks that came back.
Shannon Brooks.
Yeah. So they've got three running backs that they like, and Brooks was their leading rusher last year, and he made his debut after breaking from training camp. So it was huge to get him back to give him some carries before Big Ten play. So him and Rodney Smith are you know 1A and 1B in this rushing attack, and then Kobe McCrary is. A little bit bigger, maybe more of a pounder, even though Shannon and Rodney run tough as well. I think that having all three of them gives them their full opportunities here on Saturday, hopefully.
Drew Rolatarski has been the number one target. He is a guy that actually played against Penn State the last time they played in 2013. Where has he developed as a wideout?
He's taken on the responsibility of being the go-to guy. You know, KJ May was in that role last year, and he left, and Drew has stepped into that spot. I think he's third in the Big Ten with about six receptions a game. He's been a guy that has been the go-to guy for Mitch Leidner, and he's kind of embraced the leadership role at that position.
Defensively, how would you describe that so far?
Yeah. That's a very good question. They've tried to use more sub packages this year than they have in the past. They're traditionally a 4-3 defense under Tracy Clays, who's now the head coach, and Jay Sauvel, who was secondary coach and promoted to defensive coordinator. So they're primarily a 4-3 team, but against Colorado State, they had 80% of their plays were either in the 3-4 or the 2-4.
Right.
And they have had some great success with that. They had 14 tackles for a loss against Colorado State. But then the other side of the coin shows that they had 15 plays given up of 10 or more yards. So it's kind of been a Jekyll and Hyde kind of situation for them where, you know, sometimes they are able to get good pressure on the quarterback by disguising the look. Another time they kind of create some lanes for big plays on the other side. I think that they've maybe experimented more than I think that they will going into this week, just given the fact that at Penn State tries to speed it up. I think that there'll be fewer sub packages on defense this year or this week, and they gave up a lot of stuff on third down in the first two games, and they cut the number of calls that they had and were able to get Colorado State off the field 2 out of 3 times on third down.
The Devers kid has stepped in and he has played well, but I notice he's now on the depth chart as not playing in the game. What happened to him?
Well, he's been quite the sensation in 3 games. He has 3 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, and obviously the one that he had this last week against Colorado State kind of harkened people's memory back to Jadeveon Clowney when he knocked that Michigan
Davion
Michigan
Smith
players.
Davion Smith.
Yeah, when he knocked his helmet off. He's a guy that's situational pass rusher. He hasn't played football very long. He's got great height, great explosiveness, but he's not big enough to play on every down. And, when he was trying to rush the passer late in last Saturday's game, they tried to cut him, and he hurt his ankle in the process. So that's the injury he has, and he's been fun to watch in the limited time that he's had, but Penn State won't have to worry about him.
Yeah, but what does that loss mean? I know he's a situational player, but is he one of those guys in situations can be the kind of home run hitter that Minnesota is missing when he's not there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, he with 3 strip sacks in 3 games, he's been a guy that has hit a home run every time that he's taken the field for the most part. It will be a loss. And they also have, some of their outside edge rushers in the 2-4 scheme are out as well, in Carter Coughlin, who is, one of the top linebacker recruits in the country, who came to Minnesota over Ohio State and over Oregon. He's out as well. There are some losses on the outside edge rushers.
Obviously, the Vikings are off to a great start at 3-0, despite Adrian Peterson's injury, but Sam Bradford's played well. Kevin Garnett just officially retired as a Minnesota Timberwolf, and the Twins have had a tough summer. Where does Minnesota Golden Gopher football fit in the pecking order of the populace there?
That's difficult to say. It kind of depends on how much success they're having. I think that this year, given the attendance that they've had in the environment at TCF Bank Stadium, it's kind of been a more wait and see approach. The Vikings run this town. The Ryder Cup is here this week, and that has a huge focus on the sporting public right now. People have forgotten about the Twins. I mean, they lost their 102nd game last night, so they're an afterthought. The Timberwolves are usually a dormant team around here, but with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins and possibly breaking a 12-year playoff drought, they have people excited. But the Gophers are often an also-ran when it comes to overall, kind of attention that's paid to them. They had 2 8-win seasons in 13 and 14. Went to the Citrus Bowl, and I think that they were, maybe climbing that pecking order. And then they had the setback last year with so many injuries and the coaching change in the middle of the season and went 6-7, and I think they kind of took a step back. But, Tracy Clays has been high on his team this year, and if they're able to come in and win at Penn State, then I think that people will turn their attention more to the Gophers.
I forgot to mention the Minnesota Wild because, ironically, they were just here Monday night. They played the Sabres here Monday night at Pagola Ice Arena, and I always wonder that. I mean, what does it take, especially in a pro town, to get yourself some sort of attention? Because that's not easy. I mean, the stadium they have that they built is beautiful. What is the continuity of staff meant? Because Jerry, of course, had been in and out as the head coach because of obvious terrible problems. But what is the stability, for the most part, in that staff at least meant moving forward for Minnesota?
Well, I think that, when they had to make the coaching change last year, it wasn't a big shock because Tracy Clays did that at times during the 2013 season when Jerry had some seizures related to his epilepsy. So they kind of just went to that page of of how they handled things then, and the fact that they'd been together for you know, 10, 15, 20 years at times, I think that kind of helped them get through it. And, you know, they almost beat Michigan in their first game. They played really well down at Kinnick Stadium against the Hawkeyes and were in the game at the Horseshoe against the Buckeyes. So even though I think Tracy went 2-4, I think, down the stretch last year, they were in a lot of games, and I think that they showed that they were willing to fight through it. The continuity really isn't a storyline anymore because they fired Matt Limegrover. And, right. You know, as you guys know, he's now the offensive line coach of the Nittany Lions. So all of that continuity was disrupted. They brought in Jay Johnson, who was the OC down at Louisiana Lafayette, and they like what he's done thus far. I don't think that we've seen the full arsenal of what that offense is going to be because they've tried to keep it under wraps, and maybe some of that comes out here this weekend. They have a new offensive line coach who has really kind of instilled kind of a road grader mentality, and they've been able to do that in the run game, and they've been able to protect Mitch Leidner. So, yeah, the continuity has changed, but they're satisfied with the early results of the new guys.
Andy, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you here this weekend.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Andy Grader, St. Paul Pioneer Press, Minnesota. We'll come back and open line time at 1-800-795-9565, and then the Mystic from the East looking to bury me at 435 on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Imagine feeling the raw power of a 400-horsepower twin-turbo V6 and match that with all-wheel drive and the ultimate in comfort and technology. Experience the zen-like feeling for yourself. Stop by our showroom and experience this incredible American luxury vehicle, the new 2017 Lincoln MKZ. It's more than a car, it's an experience. Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury is waiting for you to come and experience the complete lineup of Lincoln luxury vehicles. Sunbury Motors is making that luxury an affordable reality with 0% financing for 60 months and $1,000 cash back on 2016 Lincoln MKX, and 0% financing for 60 months and $3,500 cash back on 2016 MKZ hybrids. Comfort, performance, style, and luxury are all made affordable at the Susquehanna Valley's home for affordable American luxury, Sunbury Motors Lincoln. Check out our inventory online at sunburylincoln.com or visit us today in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury.
Great to have you with us. A couple minutes to spend here before we get to the Mystic from the East, who will then join us to attempt to bury me. I shall make a comeback at some point. I don't know how. I don't know by what means I may have to go. But we will get there. We'll put in a series of Slippery Rock versus California PA games and see how they handle that. great to have you with us. We're brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection anywhere. I mean, stock up for the weekend. Get ready for your tailgate. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Yeah, it's not just beer. It's wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And that pickle bar is second to none. You know I love the barrels and the dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And so what are the games we're picking this week?
Let's see. Well, we got 4 college, 4 pro. Stanford, Washington tonight.
Tennessee. That's going to be a heck of a game. I've been looking forward to that game all week. Because, I mean, I've had a lot going on this week. I had to speak to the Pennsylvania Petroleum Association last night. I had the State of Excellence roundtable I had to MC last night. And I have to have a donor dinner I have to go to here when the show's over.
So I've been looking forward to Stanford and Washington because now it's decompress time, and my grandson's going to be here tonight. It's the first time he's been to State College. So he and I are going to watch football together. Right? And then his parents can pry him away from me at some point. But he and I are going to watch football together for the first time.
Love it.
And that's the game we're watching. He has no idea what's going on, but neither does his grandfather. So what do we got? Stanford, what else we got? Clemson is going to be one of the Clemson-Louisville game, right?
Yes, yeah. We'll have Louisville-Clemson, Whiskey-Michigan, Tennessee-Georgia. Those are the four college games.
Okay. Yep. All right. Actually, those are the exact four games I have on the TV show. All right. Yeah,
primo games. Primo college lineup.
Yep.
And let's see, in NFL, we'll have Carolina-Atlanta, Indy-Jacksonville, Kansas City-Steelers, and then Monday night, the Giants and Minnesota. There's your great eight.
All right.
I guess that'll be their first Monday night game in Minneapolis in like 6 years.
Probably, but you know what? Monday night football doesn't have the same cachet it used to. Sunday night football is the big deal now. Hey, Monday Night Football's, you know, I know ESPN wants it to make it seem like it's the 70s and 80s, but it's not. It's nice, but it's not the be-all, end-all Monday Night Football. Not the, to me, as a viewer, it's not what it used to be. All right, go to Brewers Outlet said and tell them that we sent you. How much of a discount do you get for that? I'm not making promises, but just tell them.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Stock up for that tailgate right now. Wine coolers, water, snacks. Water. They roast their peanuts, freshen out every day. That pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And now we bring in the Mystic from the East. My brother Kevin, who his stated goal is to bury me starting this week.
I'm sleeping good.
I'm sleeping good. Can imagine you are.
So was Sean.
Although Kevin, I don't hit the sack before the 8 o'clock kickoff starts. So.
I know. I just told him I go to bed at 7. The older I get, I know this has nothing to do with anything, but I thought of you the other night. This was right up there. Where were you when Elvis died? Where were you when the Red Sox couldn't celebrate their victory at Yankee Stadium?
I'm watching
that game.
That's
the funniest thing I've ever seen. Mark Teixeira's never hit a walk-off home run in his life. He does it that night. The Yankees are celebrating. The Red Sox are walking with their heads down to the clubhouse. Okay,
exactly.
That has nothing to do with anything.
Well, I was listening to the game. Game and when it's on Sirius, it's always the home team broadcast. So is John Sterling.
Yep.
And there's so many fly balls that were hit in that game where Sterling said, the wind's knocking it down, the wind's knocking it down because it was that bad. He must have crushed that ball to get it out of there. He must have killed it.
Oh, that was a shot. It was gone and like one of those, like a line drive, like, you know, bang. But him and his, you know, Teixeira. Hey, Teixeira.
He sends a text message or something like that.
Yeah, sends a text message. So that was cool.
And will that be the last home run of his career?
Yes. Well, yeah. I don't know if he's got three more games, two more.
Yeah. Three more games. But you know what Teixeira did above all? Teixeira did I think above all, besides obviously being a really good clutch hitter,
good field,
is that he stabilized the Yankee infield. Between Tino Martinez and Mark Teixeira, the Yankee infield really was terrible for years.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Teixeira came in and became Tino Martinez at first base, and suddenly guys that were making boatloads of errors before suddenly were in the running for gold gloves because he saved a lot of runs.
No, heck like of a player. Vacuum over there. Yeah. Hey, if he didn't get hurt as much as he did, he'd have hit 500 home runs. So.
And you know what? And Kev, he's going to be a really good TV analyst. I've seen him do some things on television. He's very, very good. Very smart.
He's a good guy. I was happy for him that he could end his career with something like that instead of, you know, limping out the door.
Right, so, exactly.
He's a good guy who got a good moment.
Well, the three of us were limping last weekend. Kevin and I, 3-5. Steve, 2-6.
Yeah. What was Steve?
Steve was 2-6. You knew that. I emailed you that on Monday morning.
Could you say it one more time?
All right.
At one point, he was 0-5. I thought.
He was.
Oh, was I?
Yeah.
Oh, was I?
Yeah, and Michigan was just beating a living tar out of Penn State. Like, I didn't want to text you. I was like, well, then you did good. You got two out of the next three, so that was good.
Well, we're currently
a tough week.
It was a tough week. Well, you and I are currently at 19-12, and Steve three behind, 16-15. So
make that up easy.
I keep telling him he's going to. He will. I know he will.
Well, God almighty, look at this week.
Yeah,
you're good at picking these games.
We've got a phenomenal lineup of college football. And it starts with tonight's matchup. You'll be in bed, but 9 o'clock kick, Stanford and Washington.
Well, I get the thrill tonight of watching for the first time ever football with my grandson Ryan. So
all
I'm looking
right.
forward. Yeah, he's going to be. Mike's coming here tonight. So
awesome.
Yeah, and so he and I are going to watch it together, and you can debate which one of us has more football knowledge. I talked to Tom Bradley, the UCLA defensive coordinator, before the Stanford game. I did not talk to him after the Stanford game. What gets me is how. Is that Stanford makes clutch plays when they need it, but UCLA sat on the ball. They should have beaten them last week. But I'm going to go with Stanford again because of the McCaffrey factor.
And I'm going to take Stanford, too.
I'm not. I think Browning's a difference, and Stanford likes to get physical to win, and that plays right into Washington's hands. They're not going to push Washington around. Washington does not hurt itself. They got a +9 turnover margin. I got Washington by 3.
UW, look at you. All right. All right, let's go to tomorrow's games. We have in the 3:30 window on CBS with Gary and Uncle Vern, Tennessee at Georgia. Tennessee off the schneid last week, finally winning over Florida.
Well, you can go first, Kev.
Me?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, Georgia's passing attack's killing them. And they're 17 for 37 last week, and that's just not going to cut it. Again, Tennessee's got all the talent in the world to win the SEC and win a national championship. They're that good. But they've yet to put a full game together, yet they're undefeated. If they can get the lead like Ole Miss did last week to Georgia, then they will cruise. They got too much for Georgia. Tennessee by 3.
Let's see. Tennessee's got to drop one here sooner or later, and they're really coming off that emotional high after the Florida game last week, so I'm taking Georgia.
Here's one advantage I think people have not really thought about with the Tennessee-Georgia game. Bob Shoup, the Tennessee defensive coordinator, just got ready for Georgia 7 months ago because that's the team Penn State played in the Tax Slayer Bowl. So personnel-wise, Bob has an advantage of that he knows the Georgia personnel and he knows the Georgia quarterback well. I'm going to go with Tennessee to win the game.
Also 3:30 tomorrow in the Big Ten. Of course, we've got Minnesota, Penn State at that time, too, here on WKOK. But also, you may want to go split screen and catch Wisconsin, Michigan at the Big House. Of course, we know about the Michigan game last week.
No. Who's up?
Well, I'll go up. I'll go first. I was really impressed by Wisconsin last week. Corey Clement, I did not think was going to play in the game. Turned out he did, and he played really well. And Hornibrook played really well at quarterback. But you get into a game like that with Michigan State, even though you win the game 30-6, that's still a physical game that you have to play. And I think it's going to be Michigan, and I think it's going to be 7-10 points when it's all said and done. What hurts Michigan is that there is nothing about Michigan, my opinion about them on any phase of their football team, that is different than the opinion I had of them 6 months ago. I thought they had a really good offensive line, center to right tackle. I thought the running backs were okay, not great. Tight ends the best in the country. Wide receivers are really good. Quarterback's a game manager. Defensive line, great. Lewis is the best corner in the country. Their secondary is great. Linebackers are mediocre. I watched and did the game on Saturday. Not one opinion has changed. I just think they're too good in the trenches.
Michigan for me, too. I mean, I was floored last week when Wisconsin won so handily. Not 2 weeks in a row and not on the road, so Michigan for me.
I agree with both of you. When you really look at the whole thing, I mean, good for Wisconsin. I mean, that was a great win. But Michigan is such a balanced team. They don't have a weakness. And Wisconsin does. I mean, their special teams aren't the best. Their inability to run. If you can't run, you're not going to beat Michigan. So I think speed's going to be part of the completeness of Michigan, and I got Michigan by 10.
And by the way, I think Michigan will lose before October's out. I mean, I do not think they're an undefeated team.
Who do you think will beat them?
Well, eventually down the road, I think Ohio State's going to beat them, but that's next month. But I think there might be a time this month they'll lose. The kicking of the football is not a strong suit for them. The return game is, but not the kicking of the ball. I think that hurts them. And I also think their two linebackers don't help them, and their running backs don't help them.
Five-star college football matchup tomorrow night. We've got number 3 versus number 5. And this is really only the second time in Clemson football history that they will have a home game with two top 5 teams. The other one was 3 years ago when Florida State went in and laid a can on them. We've got Louisville-Clemson tomorrow night.
My pick is based on real estate. Location, location, location. Clemson at home.
Clemson for me, too.
Yeah, I got Clemson at home. I mean, you got Heisman versus Heisman, Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. But the Clemson's defense is just going to cause big problems for Louisville's running game. And Louisville hasn't played a defense like this yet. I mean, maybe they'll win the game there, but they haven't played a team like this yet. So I got Clemson by 6.
Well, that fun little tradition they do when they do the bus around the stadium a couple times, and then they come down the hill from the scoreboard down to the field. I always think that's pretty cool.
I've come down that hill before, you know, and it's fun. It's interesting.
All right, let's move to the pros. Sunday, 1 o'clock, Carolina and Atlanta. Falcons coming off that Monday night win over the Saints.
Well, I'll go. I'm going with the Panthers. Falcons defense just isn't that good, and they gave up a lot of points in New Orleans, which is fine. Everybody does, but Cam Newton will have his way as Drew Brees did. The difference is Carolina's defense is way, way better than New Orleans' defense. And I think Carolina at least by 7.
Yeah, it's time for Carolina to buckle down. I've got the Panthers, too.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised that with Kelvin Benjamin back in the lineup, that Carolina's still sputtered a bit. And I thought he'd be a difference maker that would really help them a lot. But I'm going to go with Carolina like you two. I think they're better than Atlanta.
All right, so this is perfect for Kevin's busy schedule. Sunday morning at 9:30.
That's like noontime to me.
Right. imported from London, we've got Indianapolis and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, gee, what a game. England's happy.
They're jumping up and down. They're all, you know, we're all Jag fans now.
Yeah, well, Jacksonville's offense has sputtered the last 2 weeks. Chris Ivory and T.J. Yeldon, I mean, they ran 18 times for 31 yards. I mean,
right.
But I think that'll change against the Colts because the Colts' defense just isn't that good. And Luck's going to put up his big numbers, but he's inexplicably. Inexplicably turned the ball over.
He just turns the ball over
at the worst times. And I think the Jags get the first one.
It's fading. This is the end of the day for him. So.
I know. I still have one more thing to do.
I'm going Jacksonville too.
Yeah.
Then I'll take Indianapolis because all the picks have been the same so far. So I'll go with Andrew Luck.
Not a bad pick.
Okay, Sunday night showdown in the Berg on 100.9 The Valley. The Steelers in Kansas City.
The battle of the Penn State tight ends.
I love that.
Jesse James, Penn State football. Ross Travis, Penn State basketball.
Wow.
Patrick Chambers is going to the game on Sunday night because Ross plays for the Chiefs and he caught a touchdown pass last week after playing 4 years of hoops here.
That's amazing.
Look, your team, Sean, had better get it done. So I'm going to say that Le'Veon Bell is the swing guy because Roethlisberger has not played well at all to this point. So with Bell back, I'm going with the Steelers.
Okay, here we go.
This will be the last time if they lose.
Here we go. I'm going to the game Sunday night.
Wow.
But don't tell my wife.
Oh, this, so thank this, goodness! Thank goodness she listens to Eagle 107.
That's right.
You're a Steeler fan. Come on.
I'm doing this just for business, just for the show. I'm taking Kansas City.
No way.
I'm taking Kansas City. Shazier is out Sunday night.
There's
six other guys out, including
Timmons is iffy too.
Rodgers is out at wide receiver. So I'm going to be rooting my guts out for the black and gold. But here, just between the three of us, I'm taking Kansas City.
Look, I'm just going to call John Norwig, the Steeler trainer, good friend of mine, and basically tell him, because John and I go back 35 years, I'm just going to tell him you're a trainer. So, yeah, they fraud up in the upper deck. Oh, yeah, I know. We got him.
I'm not in the 500 level, but they can look up there for me if they want. But I'm not in the suites either, okay?
I got you.
Ah, man, you got me all confused. Well, that doesn't make you a genius. It's not hard to do.
All right, we already have coworkers of Sunbury Broadcasting texting me that I'm a traitor.
No.
Well, you
got to pick it the way you see it.
That's what I'm doing.
I mean,
that's
what are you
going
to do? Kansas City dominated the Jets. And the Jets are supposed, I mean, we all took the Jets, you know.
And the Steelers are going to lose some more games down the pike. I mean.
Yeah. You know. I took the, I'm not going to change it now. I mean, after listening to you, I was like, yeah, go KC. You know, I'm going to give the Steelers a mulligan for last week. I mean, all your so-called experts are still saying, personnel-wise, they are arguably one of the best teams in football. But we're running out of them. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of really great teams in the NFL anymore. I don't think Roethlisberger is going to give the game away the way Fitzgerald did. And that was the thing that was kind of hidden in the Kansas City game. Fitzgerald played a horrible game. I mean, he's trying to throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball at everybody, and the ball's getting tipped and intercepted, and that game was all about Fitzgerald last week.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give Pittsburgh the edge here because they're playing at home, and Le'Veon Bell is back after suspension. So.
All right. One more here. Monday night special, Giants in Minnesota.
I'm so disgusted by how they lost last week.
Oh, God, I can't even talk about it.
I'm disgusted how they lost last week. They never should have lost that game. Look, I'll go with the Giants because I'm a loyal fan, Sean.
Oh, good.
I'll go with Minnesota because I'm not a loyal fan.
I want to win. I want to win.
Oh, that game last week was just absolutely horrible. I mean, between penalties and turnovers, I mean, the Giants should have won that game by 3 touchdowns. And
yeah,
then they got personal fouls, guys getting thrown out of the game. There's no discipline. They're going to have to change. They've got all the talent in the world, but unless they change their ways, they're not. Minnesota's defense is awesome.
Yeah.
Really
so,
good.
Yep.
Really good.
And who'd have thought their quarterback didn't even hardly spend any time at training camp at all, and he's going to lead them to a 4-0 start. I'm taking Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree. I look around the league. How many first rookie quarterbacks? They're not just playing good; they're playing great.
Yeah,
and it was never like that. You had to be an assistant for 2, 3, 4 years to even consider going out there. Mm-hmm. And now they're coming right from the college field to the pros, and they're superstars.
Okay, I just got another text. Report to Cleveland. Oh God.
I'm telling you right now, you are a traitor, and people know it.
Mm. It'll be well documented.
You got to celebrate when Kansas City wins.
No, I won't, but...
Yeah, you're going to be sitting there at the 400 level. Hey, ho! Oh. Wait, in other words, this is one of those where you feel you can't lose?
True. Oh. Okay, Sean, you took Minnesota.
Yeah, I did.
Steve took the Giants.
Yep.
Well, we got a lot of different ones this week. We're going to get movement in the ranks.
We are.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right.
Movement.
Till next Friday.
Are you gonna get here in time to do the show with us here in the studio next week?
What time does it start?
3 to 5. Huh? Your segment's 4. Your segment's 4:30 to 5.
Can you delay the thing?
No.
No.
No, not really. No. You'd be shocked. 5 o'clock, we go to news.
Well, the good news is because I go to bed so early, I get up at 3.
No, 3 a.m., yeah.
Well, I watch Everybody Loves Raymond. And
that's
King of Queens.
Yeah.
And then write to George Lopez. And
there
I'm
go.
Good to go for the day. So.
Well, we're good to go for the week.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be here next week.
I will be there on time. We'll be live in the studio.
There you go.
Love it.
Sounds good. This is great. All right. So I get my grandson this week. I get my brother next week. It's all good.
Life
all right.
Is good.
So, yeah.
Okay.
We go.
Can I stay in your basement?
Absolutely. It's still set up.
Okay. The pillow's probably still there. It hasn't moved.
Has not.
Yeah. Was there 2 years ago?
May have to change the case on it, but yeah, it's all good.
Okay, cool.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
You betcha.
Good picks. Good job. Bye,
all
guys.
Right. And that'll wrap it up for the week. We got news coming up top of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.